The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to One Session at a Time. It's your host, DJ Luz, and today we're going to be diving into the raw, unfiltered truth of what it's really like to grow up in therapy. No filter, just real life experiences and the journey of figuring it out, one session at a time. Hi everyone, and welcome back to episode 3. Today we're diving even deeper into my first therapy experience. Not just that one first session, but the entire beginning phase of it as a whole. I want to slow things down a little bit and really talk about the little details, like what I learned, what the turning point was, and how my relationship with my first therapist started to grow over time. In my last episode, I talked about my first impression of therapy, like when I walked into the room, noticed the space, how I felt sitting there, and what I thought of my soon-to-be therapist. But this time, I want to go beyond that. I want to talk about how that experience progressed, and how it shifted from something new and unfamiliar into something that started to feel safe, comfortable, part of my life. After that first session, I remember walking downstairs to find my mom and heading to the car. And honestly, I was really excited for the next session. I left feeling like I just made a new friend, someone I could talk to about my day-to-day, my thoughts, and really anything. After that, I started seeing her twice a week for about an hour each time. At first, it was pretty casual, you know, some small talk here and there, mapping out what my days look like, how school was going, what my friendships were like, and how I grew up. It was really just her trying to get a better sense of who I was. But what I didn't realize, and I now think is really cool, was that I was also getting to know her. At least in the way that you get to know someone who listens and pays attention. Of course, she didn't share the intimate parts of her life. I mean, that's not what a therapist do. But the conversation started to feel more comfortable and more natural. It wasn't just question, answer anymore. It stopped feeling like an interview and started feeling like a conversation. I'd come in, sit down, and she'd ask, "So how did that thing go the other day?" And it felt like we were just able to pick up where we left off. And I think that was the first turning point for me, maybe a month in or so. By then, I'd gotten used to going twice a week, talking about everything from what I had for breakfast to whatever drama may have been happening in my friend group. But somewhere in there, it changed. It stopped feeling like something I had to do, and something like I wanted to do. She stopped feeling just like a therapist and feeling like someone I could really trust, a friend, or as I like to say, in a professional sense. And that, I think, is one of the most important parts of therapy. When you build that connection, it stops being about getting help and starts being about growing with someone who helps you understand yourself better. Looking back now, that period was really just the first chapter to everything that followed. It set the tone for how I approached therapy from then on, and how I learned to open up, and how I began to see therapy not as a place to fix myself, but as a place to learn and grow. It was so much more than what I had received before. I mean, definitely a lot more than what I was used to, with a school counselor trying to juggle friend drama between five of us at once. Because back then, sessions always felt rushed, like I was just one of the many stories to get through that day. But this was different. For the first time, I had a space that was completely and solely about me. It wasn't about fixing a fight or finding a quick solution so everyone could get along again. It was about understanding why I felt the way that I did and what those feelings were trying to tell me. And yeah, of course, I still talked about other people, like friends, teachers, maybe even situations that stressed me out. but the focus was on what I could learn from them. It was about working through my own emotions, not for the sake of anyone else, but for myself. Then that's something I had never really done before. Therapy gave me the opportunity to take up that space and embrace my feelings. It taught me that my emotions mattered even when they were messy or confusing. It became a space where I could process things that I didn't even really have the words for yet. And it grew so much bigger than just the basic exercises a school counselor had given me, like breathing or meditation. Because believe me, I could breathe and meditate, or at least try to, for an hour straight. But with my racing mind, that didn't always help. I'd still be overthinking and running through every what-if situation imaginable. And I do have to admit, I still do that today. Instead, my therapist helped me find real tools, things that worked for me, not just the basic, you know, look up on the internet and what comes up. She encouraged me to find outlets and pulled me out of that spiral and gave me something more grounding to focus on. And that's when I started drawing. She introduced it so casually. She said, "Next time you feel anxious, take out a piece of paper, try drawing or coloring. I mean, just find something to put on that piece of paper." At first, I thought it sounded a little too simple and kind of like I'm not a kid anymore, but it worked. I remember us sitting at the table together sometimes, both of us with pencils or markers, just drawing while we talked. Yeah, I mean, it probably sounds a little funny, but those were some of the most peaceful moments we had together. We talked through, you know, stressful situations, but I'd be distracted by the drawing, and I think that's what made it a lot easier to open up. Because I didn't feel as heavy or tense, because my hands, and I guess my mind in some way, were busy doing something else. Kind of like when you're a kid and you were so invested on your hands-on activity that nothing else really mattered. I felt like my thoughts could flow more freely when I wasn't so, you know, conscious about what I had to say and how I needed to say it. And to my surprise, drawing became a lot more than just an anxiety technique. It became something I genuinely loved. It turned into a hobby and honestly another form of expression. I ended up taking art classes throughout high school, not because someone told me to or because of stress, but because it was something that I learned to love. What started as a coping mechanism slowly became part of who I was. That's what therapy did for me. It gave me the tools not just to manage what I was feeling, but to channel it. It wasn't about fixing myself anymore. It was more like learning to understand myself, to give my emotions a voice, and to find healthy ways of letting them out. And I think there were a lot of milestones in my relationship with my first therapist, or more accurately, therapy as a whole. I talked earlier about the first milestones when our relationship began to ground itself, and I finally got some real tools to cope with my anxiety. But the final, and I think the biggest turning point for me, was when I truly became vulnerable. And sure, I told her a lot about my anxiety, what I felt, how the drama was getting to me, but the real heavy stuff hadn't quite come out yet. Although I had been in therapy for what felt like a really long time back then, maybe only a few weeks or a month in hindsight, but it felt really long, and I still had yet to reveal the hardest and deepest things. I'd mentioned my family dynamics, a brief note that I had lost somebody so incredibly important to me, but we never went further than that. She knew the name, the situation, and then the conversation would just stop. One day, though, I just couldn't hold it in anymore. I was a mess. Even though I felt safe with her, like I could be honest, I still had this mask on. We used to describe it as a shield, something I put up even in front of her to protect how I really felt underneath. Looking back, it sounds kind of silly, but it made sense at the time. I think every kid grows up with the fear of being judged or seen as less than, and so because of that, I was always wearing this shield, even with those I trusted. And that day, the shield came off. I walked in, I sat on the couch, and I just started bawling. I think the moment I stepped out of the car, I knew I couldn't hold that shield up anymore. I was too tired of pretending. That was my first time being truly vulnerable in front of her. And I want to point out too that vulnerability doesn't have to look like crying for all of us. It can show up in a lot of different ways for different people. For me, it showed up as crying. And for you, it might be talking, or silence, or saying something that you've never said before. I cried for what felt like the entire session. We talked about loss and what it really feels like, because before that moment, I realized I'd been keeping myself from feeling. When the loss initially happened, I just remember asking myself over and over again, why do the most wonderful people get taken from us? And then from then on, you could say I went numb. I didn't know how to process it because I had never experienced that type of grief before. And that moment was huge. It was truly the turning point when everything felt so much more real. When I actually allowed my emotions to be liberated. And yes, in every way imaginable, it was brutal to sit there with tears streaming down my face and to say out loud what I had, hidden for so long. But after that, that mask was completely gone. From that moment on, I knew I could be vulnerable and I kind of knew how to. Whether that looked like crying or telling someone how I really felt. No filter, just plain me. And after that day, my therapist and I were able to talk about, some of the most gut-wrenching feelings I'd been hiding. It was a time where I allowed therapy to really liberate me, and believe me, it was scary and exhausting. I don't remember, but I probably went home that evening, cried some more, and then fell asleep from the emotional exhaust that I was feeling. But I felt free in a way that I hadn't before, because I had released so much and could finally just be apologetically me. To this day, I'm so grateful for my first therapist. From her gentle, encouraging words to her practical tools that she gave me for anxiety, she had a lasting impact. We worked together for a few more months and built something that had stuck with me, but eventually she did have to move away. And saying goodbye is hard. I think with anyone, it can be really difficult. Because I was losing someone who had become a friend. And someone who had taught me how to be strong, stay motivated, and keep that shield down. So I'll leave you all with this. Therapy takes many forms and looks different with different people. Sometimes you click right away, sometimes it takes time. But therapists who genuinely care about you can make a difference. I felt it with my first therapist and even more with my second. Therapy can be beautiful if you let it in and be. And yeah, it'll take time. Maybe days, weeks, or months. Everyone's timeline is different. So as I close today's episode, I want to thank you all again so much for listening. I hope this podcast is a place where we can all feel comfortable together and be open about vulnerable moments. If anything has resonated with you from episode 1, 2, or 3, I want to say join me next week. And as I always close and I always say, take it step by step, moment by moment, as I like to say, one session at a time.